God decides to do what he wants to do, how many of us think it's a good idea to just let him do what he wants to do? Yeah? It's amazing. And this morning, before I move on with the service, I just wanted to share this with us all. This morning at our church-wide prayer meeting that happens every Sunday at 9:30 downstairs, God brought me to this part of the Bible in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. It's a very famous verse. A lot of us have quoted it. A lot of us have prayed it. And this is what it says. Jesus said to his disciples, Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Many times I've read this and I've thought to myself, so that's a little bit like an injection of God's grace, isn't it? Isn't it like a little bit of a pick me up when I feel a little bit down? Let me take Jesus' yoke upon me and give me that extra boost when I need it. But this morning, God said to me, son, you got it all wrong. That's not what I'm saying. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I, Jesus, am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. This rest, my friends, the Greek translates to Sabbath. It's talking about a spiritual rest for our souls that is not just about a Sunday rest. Yes, it refers to a day of the week, but it also speaks of a spiritual condition of our hearts and our spirits where we are in Christ. When you are in Christ, that rest that you receive from His Spirit will allow you and enable you to face any difficulty, any challenge, any sorrow, any disease, and break every chain because you are in His rest. Never take off His yoke. Don't think it's just an injection you need, a buzz that you need, that you come to church on Sunday every now and again because you need to be filled up again. Take that yoke upon you and never put it away. God's saying, don't take that yoke off. Put it on. Who's with me? Who understands what I'm saying? So take His yoke upon you and learn and receive and have that peace that surpasses understanding be consistently and constantly be with you. Is that good? Amen. Amen. Who thinks 2016 is the year? who had a great year in 2015? Yeah. Man, the days just roll by, don't they? You know, I was talking to, I had dinner with some friends last night, good Malaysian dinner at a place called Sri Makota at Green Lane, my personal favorite. One was my second boss ever, so he employed me, took a chance with me. I was a young 22-year-old. Fresh around the fringes and very rough, and he took a chance on me and gave me a job. And the other one was another boss of mine, former boss of mine, also took a chance on me. And the third guy was a senior. When I joined as a young fella, he's the guy that trained me and taught me and reviewed my work and rebuked me if I did things wrong. And these are men that I've hung out with for years, and more than 10 years, well, more than 10 years. And we were just talking and enjoying just fellowship, you know. None of them are Christians, actually, by the way. Well, one is Christian, the other two aren't. And we were talking about life and just laughing about old times. And I just realized, one of them said, you know, life is precious. Life is precious. You know, this week, we read in the papers, because we're all from the banking background. We all worked at a bank. And there's a bank called SBS, based in Southland, basically. And the CEO of Southland Banking Corporation, SBS, passed away suddenly this week. Very, very healthy guy, into extreme sports, marathon running, 49 years old. Suddenly just passed away. Natural causes, they say, and I assume that it might be a heart attack. And when we were just reflecting on that, man, time flies, doesn't it? And we need to take every day as a gift from God, amen? Every single moment we have, every breath that we have, is something we need to give thanks for, amen? So let's start this year with that attitude in mind. And as we carry on with the Power Series, second sermon in the two-part series, let's just be in an attitude of openness. I know that some of us weren't here last week, and I'll go through a quick summary. But, you know, if you're here this morning and you feel, maybe I've heard this all before, you know, it's nothing new. I would encourage you to just keep an open mind, open heart, because the Holy Spirit this morning, he wants to speak to some of us. And when I say some, there's always some people that are not ready to receive, but if you're ready to receive, God will tell you something powerful today on the second Sunday of the year. Amen? Amen. Well, let me just pray real quick. And let's get started. Lord, I thank you so much for who you are. Jesus, that you are Messiah, the chosen one, the one that is here to redeem us, the one that died on the cross and sacrificially went on the cross as a sinless person, that you did not deserve death, but you chose willingly to get on that cross to die because you knew none of us could do that for our own sins. You died so that we may live forever and be reunited with your Father, our Father in heaven. Give you all the praise, all the glory this morning. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Transform our minds this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, why don't you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3, reading from verse 14 to 21. So I want to read the Bible, this chapter, this bunch of verses again to set the scene. Reading from the ESV version, this is what it says. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. Interesting, there's families in heaven. That according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you that you will be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses understanding, that you will be filled to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we could ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. About 3 weeks ago, we had a power cut. Those of us living in Flatbush, you'll know what I'm saying. Power cuts happen every couple of months. And I remember it didn't happen at a very convenient time. I had just imagined in my head that I would cook this beautiful dish, this amazing Korean instant noodles. Because, you know, holiday season, and we don't always, you know, do our usual thing in terms of dinners and schedules. So Rita had dinner with the kids because I came home a bit later. So I imagined in my head what it would taste like, right? The process of cooking the noodles, and then you drain the water, put the noodles aside, and you boil the water again, and you poach the egg, right? And then you put the egg on top, just, you know, runny yolk, not hard yolk, and then you sprinkle on top some crunchy onions, you know? That's, yeah. And so I was imagining this, and the water was boiling in the kettle, you know? I boil the water first. That's the process, right? Who's process-driven here? Yeah. So it was boiling, and then it just went, lights went off, it was about 9 p.m., I was standing in the middle of the kitchen, looking around, and I said, "Dear," that's what I call Rita, "Dear, where are you?" You know, when you're in your moment of need, you call out to that person that can help you. So I was calling out to my wife. I was like, "Where are you?" Because being a man of the house, I have no idea where things are stored. Who's with me? Or maybe that's just me. And if you mess with the filing system, you're in trouble. So I have no idea where the torches are, the candles, the matches. So I was like, in the middle of the kitchen going, "Help!" So it was dark, and Rita did her thing. You know, girls are amazingly gifted. They can find their way in the dark. You know, like before long, I smelled like beautiful scented candles. There was about, I don't know, 10 of them upstairs, downstairs, everywhere. The very romantic setting. I was like, "Wow, this is really cool." And then I thought, man, it's a good time to have a warm shower. And I was like, "Oh, there's no power. There's no power." So I was like, "What do I do?" Then naturally, you pull out your phone and look forward to playing a game or something, right? Because there's nothing else to do. You can't read a book. You can't have a shower. You can't cook noodles. So I pulled my phone out, and it was like 20% power. So I found myself standing there for moments just thinking, "Lord, are you serious? You want to get me to go to bed at 9:30? Wow, that's pretty sad." So I made my way upstairs because I could see, you know, enough to not stumble over. Went to bed, pulled the duvet over, and I said, "Night, dear, I'm off to bed." And I could see outside the window just afar, as you can see some light, right? Because when it's dark, you can see the smallest tiny bit of light in the distance. And I looked across, and I could see about 4 streets away, there was light. Oh, I was furious. I was thinking of all the streets in the entire suburb, it had to be our little 4-street group of houses. And then those guys over there have power. So I was thinking, okay, well, let me give it 15 minutes. I just lie there and, you know, because I have things to do. You know, I'm a busy guy, you know. I've got things to do. 9:30 is not very efficient use of my time. And 15 minutes went by, nothing. Half an hour went by, nothing. An hour went by, and I was this close to falling asleep. Like, you know how when you get to that point where we're about to be in deep sleep and we start drooling and you start snoring? And then all the lights came on, you know, including the toilet light, the kettle started boiling, and then I was woken up, and it was 10:30, and I just thought, "Oh, I've lost all appetite, I've lost all motivation," so I just decided just to call it a night. Power. Last week we talked about the need for power. So for those of us that weren't here, that word power translate, well, in the original text in Greek was the word dunamis. And the word dunamis relates to an inherent power that is within a thing or a person. Okay? And the word dynamite comes from it, but it doesn't mean dynamite as an explosion. It means an inherent power that's stored within a thing or a person. And we talked about the fact that through the Bible, this word comes many times, and one of the examples is that it says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The dunamis of God, that we need God's power even to believe. You know, believing in Christ is not just about thinking very hard. It's not about someone preaching to you over and over again. Sometimes, you know what I'm talking about. Some of us have shared the gospel so many times to our friends, they could recite it back to you. My best friend who lives in Brisbane, he's not a Christian. I've shared the gospel to him so many times, he could probably preach it back at me. The power of God unto salvation. Secondly, it's the power to live a life. Last week we talked from here, it says that we will be filled with power and strengthened to do two things. One, to grasp, to comprehend, to understand, to receive and take it all in. To grasp how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is God's love. Because God's love is so big that in our natural minds, there's no way we can actually comprehend God's love. And then it goes on to say that that power, that same power, gives us the ability to know His love, which is an intimate experiential understanding of God's love that surpasses an intellectual knowledge of God. So we know that we need power, because I said last week, if we have power without faith, we got nothing. We got no power with faith, we're wasting our time. But if we have power and we have faith, we have transformation. Who's with me this morning? Amen. So you've just had a 7-minute summary of last week's sermon. Part two this morning. How do you receive then that power? You know that you need it. How do you receive that power? How do you retain that power, right? Because power needs to be retained. And how do you actually reconnect it to something that it would transform into something useful? You know, most of us recognize the power plug in a wall, right? A power plug sitting by itself with nothing plugged in does nothing, right? Not a trick question. When you turn on the power at the power plug with nothing connected to it, it still does. You see, power is ineffective without a connection and a consumer of that power. You see, if there's power in the main grid and no power in my house, I live in darkness. Let me say that again. If there's power in the source and no power in my house, I live in darkness. Think of a cable. iPhone users in the house, give us a yell. Oh, all Samsung users here. Let me say it again. iPhone users in the house. I've got like 3 iPhone cables, and they're all kind of like breaking at the tip, you know, the connection, and then the little cable bit, and it's like all frayed and all that. So I've used Sellotape, and you know, so I'm too cheap to buy a new cable. So the cable, the purpose of a cable is that you plug it to a source, and there's a cable that goes from one end to the other, and then you plug the other end into something, whether it be your iPhone, whether it be a kettle, whether it be a little toy that spins around for no reason, a computer. The power source is channeled, and it translates into light. It translates into the most beautiful thing. It fires up your computer. It gives you music. Power. Number one, how do you receive that power? When you plug into the source, when you plug into the source, when you connect to the source, how do you do that? You know, the first thing we need to do, if you attend any AA meetings, I'm assuming we're all saints here, so you won't know what I'm talking about. But if you attend an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, the first thing you would hear people say is that they'll say their first name. My name is Johnny, and I am an alcoholic. Because you guys know that because you watch TV, right? So you need to acknowledge it. You need to say it. You need to confess it. You need to realize and acknowledge that you need power. Because if you think, actually, life is pretty good, you know, I come from a good family, I've done my university degree, I've got some talents, you know, life is actually pretty cruisy. How many of us know that if someone is in a very good condition in their lives, it is highly unlikely that they would come to Jesus? There is a reason why people that mock Christianity say that it is a crutch for weak people. I used to get offended by that, but actually, I'm proud to be a weak person. Let me say that again. I am proud to be weak, because that is when God's power is made perfect. We need crutches, and his name is Jesus. If we don't acknowledge and recognize we need help, we're not going to receive that help. We will at best receive Jesus as an add-on. The thing I do on Sunday just to make me feel better. The thing that I do when I need to go and confess my sin. The thing that I do because I enjoy the music at the church down the road. The thing that I do where I feel I need to be fed intellectually. The thing that I do. The thing that I do. The thing that I, me. But if we acknowledge, sometimes God has to bring us to our point of need, our point of desperation, where we are able to acknowledge, confess. Matthew chapter 7 says this: ask, and it will be given. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open. All of these actions, ask, seek, and knock, requires who to initiate. Who's knocking on the door before it's open? Me. You. Who's asking the question? Me. You. If we realize and think that actually everything is all well and good and all together, very unlikely that we'll come to a point of acknowledgement. And that power will remain as a socket in the wall that has nothing connected to it. Nothing. You will have a form of Christianity. You will go to a good Bible-believing church. You'll even go to Connect Group every now and then. You may even be a leader of a department or a worship team. You may even be a teacher of the Bible to children. You know, there's PhDs in theology at Auckland University that don't believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Heads filled with knowledge. The scholars of Greek and Hebrew, they don't believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Heads filled with knowledge. Do we acknowledge Jesus today? Do we acknowledge our need for him? Do we thank God sometimes, even though it's hard, for our situations, for our troubles? Do we thank God when times, it feels like he is silent? That we pray and we're not hearing anything. Do we thank God for those times? Because those are the times that will bring us to the point of acknowledgement. God, I need you. I need you. You know, the second point about how do we receive is about a posture of humility. I say posture because there's something about our attitude, not only physically, but emotionally and mentally, where we choose to be open, where we choose to bow, where we choose to yield. There's something that happens happened to me just now. I couldn't stand when the name of Jesus was sung in that song. I could not stand. I had to bow. Not because I was pretending and trying to be spiritual, because that is only my only reasonable response at that moment, that my posture needs to bow. And a posture of humility is when we recognize who He is and who we are, how glorious He is and how hideous we are, how sinful we are, how holy He is, how powerless we are and how powerful He is. Posture of humility. In Micah, book in the Old Testament, chapter 6, verse 8, this is what it says. For those of you that like summaries, this is a good summary. You know, you're thinking, oh, I got to read through the whole Old Testament, the whole Bible. You like summaries? This is a good summary. It says here, He has told you, God has told you, oh man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you? I'm telling you, this is what God requires of you, okay? He requires you to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly before your God. Three things. So if you're wondering what it is that God requires of you, that is what God requires of you. A posture of humility is not only important, I believe, it's a prerequisite for us to live a life of power, a life of transformation, a life where God can actually help us to avoid living a sinful life, to break every chain, every disease, every emotional problem, every relational problem, to break every chain. Third point, we need to give glory, honor that is due to Jesus. Let me read again from our text. It says, for this reason I bow my knees. Again, what is that? The posture. The Apostle Paul. I bow my knees before the Father from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, that He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we could ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be glory in the church. To Him be the glory in the church. To Him be the glory in the church. And in Jesus Christ throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. I think that gives us a clue. I think that gives us a clue that in these short few verses, Him, 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 now to Him, now to Him, now to Him, all our talents, all our resources, all our situations, all our victories, all of our failures, all of our insecurities, all of our fears, now to Him. Not to our spouse, not to our friends, not to our boyfriend, our girlfriend, our lecturer, our teacher, our coffee maker, not to the guy that pumps your gas, to Jesus, to Jesus, to Jesus be all glory. Forever and ever and ever. How do you receive power? We acknowledge we have a posture of humility and we give glory to Jesus. You know, it's easier said than done, I must say. Because if it was easy, all of us would be having sparks coming off us because we feel so filled with power, right? We would have victorious attitudes every single day. But you see, once we receive that power, we need to retain it. We need to channel it. Yeah? Think of that iPhone cable again. You plug into the source, it needs to pass it along a cable to the other end. Point number two, how do we retain and transport that power? If you look on the slide, there's a broken cable that looks like mine, that one there on the left, on your left, and then you tape it up and it still works. And then there's the new one on the right. You see, power from a broken cable won't last. At best, it'll give you service for a short time, and then it stops working, right? Our cable is the form. People say that power without form is useless, right? If I can generate power and I don't have a form of a cable to transmit the power from the power plant to my house, from my wall into my phone, I got no power. So the form itself, what is this form that we need to have in our lives in order to transmit God's power into good use? I'm glad you asked, because that form is three things. Everyone hold up your hands like this. Number one, number one is your faith. Do this. Number two is the Word of God. And number three is the church. Faith, Word, and church. That's the form. That's your cable. That's your cable. That's your cable that's going to take God's power to transmit it into something useful. What I talk about faith, as I said before, the power without faith is nothing. But power with faith will transform you. John 15, verse 4, the very famous chapter that talks about Jesus being the vine and we being the branches, it says, "Abide in me and I in you," connected. That's my little addition. "As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Neither can you bear any good fruits unless you abide in Jesus, unless you stay connected." That is part of that cable, where you are connected to Jesus. That is your faith that you choose. It's not just an emotion. It's not just a feeling or a buzz you get on a Sunday morning. It's a decision and it's a choice that comes from God's power to channel His power. How many of us pray prayers like this? "Lord, help me to believe. I don't believe, but help me to believe." You know, God challenged me towards the end of last year. How many times, Wee Yong, have you ever prayed when you're lacking faith to ask for faith? And I thought, well, that doesn't make sense. I thought faith is my responsibility. You know, God rebuked me in that. He said, by the mere fact that you want to have faith in me, that, even that you can't do. Sorry, you can't have faith. It is God's kindness, Romans says, that leads us towards repentance. You know, God, when God rebukes you, you listen. And that's what I had to do. To have that faith to abide in Jesus, we need to ask Him, "Lord, help me have faith. Help me to believe. I don't believe. I'm in the midst of the worst time in my life. I am embarrassed. I want to hide. I want to run." Number two, the second part of that form, that cable, is the Word of God. "Oh, Pastor Wee Yong, my quiet times is real quiet. I talk to God and then I just sit there." And? Yeah, just sit there. It's got quiet time, right? What are you expecting, to be zapped by lightning? What is your part? What is my part in reading the Word of God? Oh, Pastor Weong, my quiet time, I just pray because I don't like reading. Okay, I've heard that one before. Well, Pastor Weong, you don't understand. I've got three kids, and I'm not mocking here, seriously. I have three kids. I like 7 o'clock, they wake me up, and the rest is history. And I find myself 9 p.m., and I'm tired. Can't read the Word of God. You don't understand. I'm doing a degree. I'm working full-time. I've got 5 kids. I've got bills to pay. You don't understand. You don't understand. Your life is all together. You're a pastor. You know? You're spiritual. You don't need help to read your word. That's your job. I don't feel like reading the Bible some days. Your word. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of faith. Faith. Lord, give me some more faith. I can't believe. The situation's too hard. I'm struggling here, Lord. Don't you understand? Can't you see that I'm struggling? Faith. Faith rise up. Let faith rise up. Let faith rise up from the hearing of the word. From the hearing of the word. Read your word to yourself. Read the word of God to yourself. Declare it over yourself. Way too convenient these days. There's no excuses. There's audio Bibles. If you don't understand English, get the Japanese version. Or get the Chinese version. Get the Iraqi version. There is no excuse. Resources are so abundant these days that no one can ever give an excuse of not being able to hear the word of God that will rise up faith. That faith will rise up if you hear the word of God. Contemporary English version, the Message version, the Amplified Bible, the ESV, the NIV, the NARSV. Choices. Choices. What excuses do we have? The word of God. Our heart is so hardened sometimes. Our applications are calling out to us. Our Vibers are vibrating. Our WhatsApps and our text messages are calling out. Our computers are calling out. The game that you haven't clocked yet is calling out. Stop nudging your neighbor. The Word of God. Number three, and most importantly, I would say, equally as important maybe, I should say, the church. As I said last week, this verse talks about the fact that we receive that power to comprehend, not just by ourselves, not just as a lone ranger, but together with all the saints. Jesus knows better than us. God knows better than us that we need to understand God's word in community, because God's word is not an intellectual thing. It's a thing that is experienced. If you want to be a lone ranger, if you want to be by yourself, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you're missing out on the power of God. That is the truth. I don't think I'm misinterpreting the Bible here. That you need community, connect groups, small groups, people that will speak truth into your life, discipleship. So point number two in summary is that we need to retain and transport that power, which brings us to point number three, that we need to reconnect that power. Once we have that power, what is it for? You got a cable plugged to the source and you got a cable running this way plugged into nothing. What is that power for? Once received and retained and transported, the power needs to be connected to an appliance that will transform that power into different useful formats. You see, may I suggest that perhaps that useful format is discipleship. May I suggest that the reason that God gave us that power, His power in the first place, is for the Great Commission. May I suggest that He gives us power to live a victorious life is not for our prosperity, but it's so that our neighbors, our friends, the ladies in our mother's group, the kids in the playground that you play at if you're a kid, friends at your workplace, former bosses that don't know Jesus, people that play sports in your football team. What is that power for? For His purpose. Why? Because it was His power. Why? Because it's His word. Why? Because it's His church. Why? Because it's the faith that came from Him in the first place. For Him, unto Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ever think or imagine. To Him be all glory. In the church. In where? To Him be all the glory in the church. We receive and we retain and we reconnect that power so that we can reconcile others to Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:19 says, that is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself. Come here. Not counting their trespasses against them and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Not counting their trespasses, their sins, restoring the world. There is no sin too great. There is restoration. There is hope. Yes, it's going to take time. Yes, it's going to take effort. Yes, it's going to take humility. But Christ is reconciling the world unto Himself to connect unto God the Father in heaven. That is what the power is for. Do you want that power? That power, as I conclude, that power is first and foremost for Him. If we yield to Him and we allow Him to channel that power through us, and we will then find our purpose, our fulfillment, our joy, and our part in His grand plan for salvation unto the world. That's how it works. That's how it works, friends. You know, do you want that power after you've heard all of this? Maybe you want some power for yourself, not for God. That's okay. Nobody's forcing you. Do you want more power to live a victorious life? To live a storm-proof life, that the storms will come. The storms may come, but it will not drown you. That you will ride through the storms. That power will help you levitate through the water of the storms and wade through the storms and come out the other side victorious. Is that what you want? Well, friends, it's accessible. All you have to do is ask. Because we can't do anything without His help anyway, right?